issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by the Parent House. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, as we continue our week-long look at education in Douglas County today, focusing on the Winston-Dillard School District Superintendent Kevin Miller and the principal of Douglas High School, Brunell Swanson. Guys, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thanks for having us, Kyle.
Thank you.
So, Kevin, overall, how has this year gone so far for the district?
Well, Kyle, it's gone really fast. It's hard to believe we have the holidays behind us. We're already into winter sports. It's been a great year, a lot of activities going on, and it's been a lot of fun, but very busy.
Now, anything program-wise that started this year or that you want to mention?
Well, we're always focused on improving our graduation rate, and Brunell could probably talk about it, stealing his thunder here a little bit, but he has a new graduation coach up there, a new staff position. And, we're looking at these SSA dollars and SIE dollars and looking at programs that we can add for next year.
So after the passage of that levy last May, kind of give us an update. That was a long time coming for Winston-Dillard. Talk about what it's going to focus on, where things are at now.
Right. Yeah. Very exciting passing the GO bond last May. And, it is focused at Douglas High School, replacing the upper and lower hall with a two-story building and a new gym. And, that's the project. We're right in the middle of the design phase right now. In fact, we just got some cost estimates in today, and we're going to review those with the school board tonight at the meeting.
So what's the timeline? I mean, this is not something that's going to be done overnight.
Oh, absolutely not. It takes a while. And part of the issue is, we're still occupying the campus during construction. So, they'll start the demolition this summer. Next year will be a big construction year for us, and then we're hoping to be able to occupy sometime the fall of 21.
So, Brunell, you've got to be looking forward to this.
Oh, very much so. Staff, students, community, we can't wait.
That building was built how far back? Probably in parts, I imagine.
Yeah, that like all campuses, it's got different eras. But the main buildings we're replacing now are the oldest buildings, and they were like 1952, 53, mm-hmm. right in there.
And you've had issues with some of those over the years. And what, when you look at, if you're able to kind of see it all done in your head, how much, I want to get both of your thoughts about how much different is Douglas High going to look?
Well, it's going to look amazingly different. The idea of a two-story building, because, that's new. Obviously, we have two single-story buildings now. So there's going to be a lot more space out front for parking. There's going to be some real interesting landscaping possibilities and just kind of provide a better traffic flow and movement on the campus.
How do you look at it?
It's awesome. One of the things, too, that's been an emphasis is just the safety and security, being able to manage a campus a lot better than this older one that we've been in.
And we hear that a lot from superintendents around the county, because so many of the buildings in this county were built in the 40s, 50s, mm-hmm. and a lot of them have this sort of open outdoor design where you could, and back, even not that many years ago, a lot of times not a lot of fencing. You could just about walk into any classroom pretty easily, which back then wasn't a big deal, but now it is.
Yeah, Kyle, it's really changed because of, obviously recent events. And it's a real focus now when you design a building to think about security and how you manage those situations. And, we're going to give that a lot of thought and already have in the design phase. And it's a big consideration.
Brunell, what about the technology part of being able to do things better in a new building that's constructed by 2020, et cetera, standards?
We're looking forward to it. We've got carts for every department to be testing all of our students with Chromebooks, and we're looking to go one-to-one for every student to have their own in their high school experience. So we put a lot of money, resources. We have a great team that's been working on that. We can't wait to unleash that with this new building.
So, Kevin, what I remember when we talked about this before it was voted on, it seemed like not everything old is being taken out. You're kind of repurposing some things, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, Kyle, the idea of the bond was to replace the older buildings like we talked about, but also maintain some of the buildings that are on site, to include the old gym. We're retaining that building and the cafeteria building. The new building will have a food service cafeteria in it, so we won't use the old cafeteria as a cafeteria, but it'll be a performing arts center. And so, and then the new, the old gym will be used as a, you know, it's a covered space that's heated, that the community can gather, that the school can have events in, that won't be, you know, putting wear and tear on the varsity floor in the new gym.
So do you, for the Performing Arts Center, then I imagine there's going to be some remodeling?
Right, yeah. You know, it already has a stage in it. It was already designed kind of as a dual-purpose cafeteria, performing arts. And since we won't need the cafeteria food service part, it will become just a, you know, a performing arts center. But we do want to do some improvements, you know, some new paint, make it look nice for the community to come in and watch the kids perform.
Now, as I recall, when this bond was out there, you had one that was expiring about the same time this would be going into effect?
Right. The Brockway bond matured, you know, after that 20-year span. It was passed back in 2000. So this is, you know, what we consider to be like a piggyback or continuation bond where, you know, one of the big selling points when we were campaigning for the bond was that, you know, property taxes would not go up.
And now, what is the timeline in terms of the bond? How many years will people be paying on this project?
Yeah, the current bond that's in place at 10169 will be a 20-year bond.
And how much was that for financially?
Through the campaign, it was designated $16 million. That's the actual bond. Of course, we picked up the $4 million from the matching grant from the state, so that put us at a total of around $20
million. So now with all of this in progress, and for people who've done remodeling projects at home, this would be off the charts compared to, you know, you just think about what this got to be like. And also think about, Brunel, this fall when you've got work going on, because you can't get everything done during the summer, obviously. Yeah. This is a much bigger project.
Now, we're already looking into that, this transition, be a little chaotic at times. Everybody's going to have to be working together, being flexible, people in different classrooms, maximizing space. So we're already working on that right now.
So, Kevin, what about other buildings in the district? Do you have things that you're looking towards the future in terms of other building projects that need to be undertaken?
Yeah, of course, you know, it's always a constant issue for school districts because you have buildings of various vintage. You know, obviously the high school buildings were our oldest buildings that we needed to take care of. But we've also been looking, you know, we're retaining our middle school and McGovern elementary buildings, and we've been looking at seismic grants we put in for last year. We didn't get them, but we'll try again and like to make some safety improvement with those buildings as well.
What about other programs in the district outside of building? Talk about some of the education things that are going on that maybe you want to highlight, let people know about what's happening in the district.
Yeah, you know, we're real excited about our preschool program. It's been great. You know, we're hoping to expand that as these SSA dollars come our way. Brunel could probably talk about it more than I can, but the CTE programs up at the high school, you know, the Measure 98 funds, we've been able to really expand and update those programs. Very excited about our animals or ag sciences program and our FFA club. That's all been brought back recently, and they're just great programs. We're really excited about them.
Brunel, talk more about some of those.
Oh, I think we're one of the better schools in the county. We have a full-time woods instructor, full-time metal, full-time science ag. We have a FFA program that has 143 members right now for students. A lot of great things going on. We're working with BLM, working with Safari. Students have a lot of opportunities to get out in the field, projects. Looking to continue to support our CTE programs.
And these obviously in the past few years have become a bigger deal again because so many careers of the future don't necessarily always, though some do, but don't necessarily always come out of, gosh, you have to have a four-year college degree to get a good paying job.
No, you're exactly right, and that's what we're really emphasizing, tracking our kids after high school to make sure they're getting in those jobs that they've been working on.
And what's the interest in the FFA program? I don't know if you get a chance to ever pop into a class there or see what's going on, but, I mean, that's quite a few people for in that program for the size school that you have.
Oh, definitely. It's been a great program. We just sent some kids here that participated in the National FFA. They're back in Indianapolis. That was a great experience for them. That program continues to grow here. It's going on its third year, so it's been great for us.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1 on News Radio 1240 KQEN. Later, KQEN Local Talk at 4, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. And on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, we'll check in with the South Umpqua School District as we continue the education series here in the month of January. And Superintendent Kevin Miller and Douglas High Principal Brunel Swanson in with us this afternoon. Kevin, we talked before about the issue of kind of a teacher shortage in the U.S. and certainly in rural America. I know it's hard to get recruitment out there for teachers, get folks to want to come to the areas. Yet at the same time, all the districts around Douglas County, at least, seem to have a lot of people that are right at and approaching the retirement age. How do you handle that?
Like you mentioned, Kyle, it's a countywide program. We've been working really closely with Michael Lasher and the ESD, the Education Service District, on programs too. Find people in our community that would be interested in education and being teachers and really promoting that, because we find that typically folks that, you know, grew up here or have family ties tend to stay here longer than, you know, people from outside the area. So there's been a real focus on that countywide, and I think we've made some real gains. But, you know, it's part of it is, you know, it's just it's hard to attract people to a poverty area. And you have to really, you know, work hard on that and build those relationships. And I think we're doing better with it, but we got a lot of work to do with it.
And do you think one of the aspects, too, especially when you're sort of selling the area, if you will, to folks who maybe are not familiar with it at all, a lot of millennials seem to like all the, you know, having a place where there's a lot to do outdoors and maybe emphasizing that part too.
Well, absolutely. You know, that's where we get our best bang for the buck, are folks that enjoy hiking and fishing and hunting and being outdoors. And of course, people that grow up in this area, that's often their interest. So there's a nice tie in there. You know, they come back and they still enjoy those things. So, you know, that's the thing. You got to sell your district. You got to, you know, get people excited about it. And, you know, so far we're doing fine with it, but, you know, it's always going to be a challenge for us.
I don't know if you can remember every teacher in the district off the top of your head, but, I mean, do you have teachers that grew up here as kids that are teaching at schools in Winston-Dillard?
Oh, absolutely. It's amazing how many former students we do have teaching for us, and it's more than a few. And like I said, you know, a lot of times those are the folks that come back to an area that, you know, you're looking around, you post a job. You go up to Portland to the job fair and you can't get any interest, but, you know, some of our former students, you know, they have family ties here, they're interested in this kind of lifestyle, and we can get them back.
Now, you mentioned earlier some of the additional funds that are coming in due to the business tax that was adopted last year. Do you know yet how much you get? How does that work? Because it's kind of a new process.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, Kyle, that, you know, it's a great resource for us. But unfortunately, you know, the way it comes down, it kind of quick before everybody gets a chance to put in a lot of planning time into it. But that's how the state works. But, you know, we don't have totals yet. We know it's going to be a significant amount. We're guessing around $1 million for our little district, and that's a lot of money. So, you know, we're putting together a plan to you know, benefit our students and our families with those dollars, and we're not done with it, but we're working on it.
So will the money all come in one lump sum, like around the end of the fiscal year, or?
Well, we'll see. No, it won't come in a lump sum. They'll spread it over the biennium, you know, but it's going to be it's hard to plan when you don't know exactly what you're going to get. But we do know that, you know, a lot of the dollars are earmarked for early learning and mental health services and some of those programs, student achievement. So it gives us some ballpark idea of what we can plan for those dollars.
And Brunel, do you have ideas on the high school end of things about what you would like to see happen with some of those funds?
Well, I know just recently we just had our Measure 98 money, too, that we had a committee that we put, you know, a good balance, I think, of funds towards academic supports as well as our CTE programs. So the state was really good to us with that, and we're looking forward with this new money that's coming as well. So, again, a lot of just supports for our teachers, our students, tracking, interventions, you know, supports to get them across the finish line and get them a diploma and make them successful, give them the best tools to be successful in the future.
It seems like today, young people anywhere, but maybe it's more noticeable here to some folks, just a lot of factors, whether it's social media, there's just a lot of distractions, there's family structure issues, there's things like that. That's resulted in an increase in, at probably all levels, of behavior issues. How do you deal with things like that?
Well, we got a good support team. We have a mental health specialist. We have a good counselor, a good VP. It takes everybody in your school to help these kids, you know, and you're trying to get them a positive relationship with an adult, you know, and somebody that can help them, support them, give them as many programs that they can choose from, and give them a great experience during their 4 years.
Kevin, have you been able, whether it's Douglas or the middle schools or the elementaries, to be able to put more resources into some of these mental health professionals or people who've got an extra level of experience in dealing with behaviors?
Yeah, absolutely, Kyle. You know, we work with the ESD to provide behavior specialists at the elementary, you know, school counselors. And as Brunell mentioned, we have a contract for mental health services. And unfortunately, there's a growing need there. We see it, you know, in the media. We know that a lot of our kids and families are struggling, and so we provide what support we can.
And do you see any hope in that, or do you feel like it's going to get worse?
Well, you know, I think, you know, I always have hope, you know, and we provide as much service as we can. And these additional resources have been great because there was a time when the need was there and we were, you know, really struggling to make our budget work at all. And so these additional resources should help. But, you know, this area and a lot of areas where there's poverty and there's substance abuse issues, all of those things affect kids and families and create issues we have to deal with.
And I know at one point, I don't remember your district specifically, but during the recession, it seemed like the position of counselor kind of faded out of a lot of school district budgets.
Yeah, unfortunately. And it also started up at the state. They started talking about, well, do you need counselors? And, you know, it's like, wow, you know, where have you been? Have you been in a school? Of course, we need counselors. We need more, not less. And so, you know, that kind of came down. And then, of course, budgets got tight. And then, you know, school boards have to make hard decisions. They know the need is there. But, you know, do you want a class size of 40 and a counselor? Or do you want a class size of 30 and no counselor? You know, those are tough decisions and don't really benefit our students in the end.
So, Brunell, how many students at Douglas right now?
We have about 450 students when you include our alternative students.
And what about the staffing level?
We have about 20 staff. I should say 40 staff altogether, probably around 20 teachers certified.
So you've got all these cool things ahead for buildings. What about other programs, maybe things that you would like to add in? You've talked about some of the programs that have come back.
We love our programs. We just started a drones program this year. That's had a lot of popularity with our students. We've had up over 15 kids that have been a part of this new club that we've just started. Our trap team is getting ready to take on its second season. We were one of the first schools to provide that for students here in Douglas County. They participated at the state level. That was great. Our FFA program has 143 members right now. We've got a upstart theater program. They're getting ready to have their next production here at the end of the month. So they're on their third year as well. So we always love to look at finding another program that can give kids a way to have a good experience outside the classroom.
Kevin, what would you like to bring to the other levels, middle school and elementary program-wise?
Well, you know, as we talked about, there's a lot of need there and student support. You know, we're looking at some of our test scores. We'd like to see some interventions in math, some of the academics. Would like to, you know, use some of these dollars coming our way that are targeted for early education to, you know, upgrade or improve, expand our preschool program. It'd be great to have.
About a minute left on Inside Douglas County. If you could change anything about the state of education overall, not just, you know, your district, but just looking at education, what would you like to see change or improve?
Well, you know, I've been doing this for 25 years, you know, specifically in this area and talked to a lot of people in the state. And it seems to me one of the biggest challenges is, you know, stability of funding. You know, it's not so much just more funding, but it's like, let's stabilize, get a reasonable amount of quality education model and maintain it. This idea that we have a boom and bust all of the time, you know, if you happen to be on a student on the upswing of the economy and you have those resources, you get a pretty good service. And if you come through at a time things are tougher, there's not much there for you. It'd be nice to have, you know, a more balanced approach and have a real, you know, consistent level of service to benefit our kids.
Superintendent Kevin Miller and Douglas High Principal Brunell Swanson, thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us, Kyle.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by The Parent House. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.